Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and good evening for those of you on the East Coast. It's Magdalena here, your host with Hormones Community Calls. Today we're going to be talking about some of the most common questions that people with thyroid and Hashimoto's have. But more importantly, I think more interestingly, I have invited fellow Hashimoto's who are thrivers on this journey who've had a big experience, a long experience of dealing with this autoimmune disease, and I want them to share their stories with you today. Before we talk to them and dive into our conversation, I just want to share with you that there's three main things why I'm so excited about doing this show tonight. Number one is the sense of hope and inspiration I want to give you when you have Hashimoto's disease and in any form of thyroid condition, whether it's hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism, even if you have not been diagnosed yet with Hashimoto's. I want to assure you that it is an absolutely manageable condition, even though the medical world paints it to be as if there is really nothing much you can do about it. There absolutely is. I want to share with you that that's possible, and we're going to be talking about how that is done, and hopefully that inspires you to take some action. Number two I would like to share with you is that, you know, I know there's a lot, many of you have done some changes. You've been dabbling around with getting off gluten or maybe switching from Synthroid to Armour or perhaps changing your vitamins and supplements, and things still aren't working. You're still highly symptomatic. Your hair is falling out. The weight doesn't want to go away. You're feeling a lot of fatigue, especially in the afternoons, or some of you can't get up in the morning, and the symptoms just pile up and it gets worse and worse. And it's incredibly frustrating, and I get it. I hear you because I've been there. A lot of people have been there before. So, but what's really important from today's conversations and from the stories you're going to be hearing is to remember that everyone is different, and everybody heals differently. And this points us back to the concept of bioindividuality, which means that every individual is biologically different. We respond to different things, and different triggers have, in the first place, where the root causes of Hashimoto's were triggered by different things. And so it's incredibly important when you listen to these stories tonight is not to assume that this is your issue and those are the only things that's going to help you. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that as well. And number three thing I would love for you to really take away from today is just the, inspiration to take action. I'm a big proponent of having a lot of knowledge and being equipped because this is really the first stepping stone into, you know, being knowledgeable and being empowered and feeling empowered that you can really do something and not just listen to your doctor's sometimes quite helpless advice. And one of the things and the reasons why I'm so passionate about this is because autoimmunity, especially in the form of Hashimoto's, the Graves' disease, is actually quite a serious condition. In fact, the Autoimmune Association in America says that 50% of women with Hashimoto's will develop another autoimmune disease within a period of 5 to 8 years. And those autoimmune diseases oftentimes are worse forms of, are the worst forms. You know, we're talking here about things like multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia. And so those are, you know, those are really serious conditions. And therefore, you know, really listen to the stories, equip yourself, and take action. All right, so what I would love to do is, for those of you who are new, I just want to share with you that I do what I do because I've had a whole series of hormonal problems, and including Hashimoto's. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's and then had also adrenal fatigue, suffered from estrogen dominance, and I always call myself one of my worst clients, my own worst client, only because I had so many things that I had to take care of in order to bring it to a point of remission. My full story is on thyroiddietcoach.com. When you click the button on About, you can see my full story, as well as I'm very transparent with my own health. I even I've scanned my past lab work so you can take a look where my antibodies were and how much they managed to come down. And definitely it was not an easy journey because I had to deal with a lot of issues with toxicity, heavy metals, other hormonal imbalances, parasites. They needed to be taken care of in order to feel fabulous the way I feel now. In tonight's call, there are three ladies. I I invited to speak with us today, Sukaina, Eve, and Denise. Hey, guys, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
So, also, just one logistical thing. I know many of you are listening online to us tonight. In case you want to ask a question, and I'm hoping that we're going to have enough time for that, what we're going to do, what you need to do is you need to dial in the number that's on the Blog Talk Radio website where you're listening. I think there's a call that's posted there that starts with a 619, I think it's 768-7228. So you need to dial that and then press 1 to raise your hand, and that way I can unmute you and you can pop your question. If you're listening online, there's no way for us to hear your question or read your question for that matter. Okay, so what I would love to do is let's share a little bit of stories, a personal story of every one of you, because I have an inkling that there is a number of listeners who will relate to every one of your stories because they have three very different stories. Yet there is, you probably will see there's some similarities as well. So why don't we start off with Denise? Can I ask you first? Tell us a little bit about your diagnosis, and just in like in 2-3 minutes, what was happening with your health?
What was happening with my health? Well, I've been working with you for a little over 2 years, I think, and for years before that, I was tired and always freezing. My body temperature was always about 96.1, 96.3. I could never get warm. And my symptoms got worse over the years, and I would go back to my doctor and say, I just don't feel good. I feel like it might be thyroid issues because I know that runs in my family. And I thought, thyroid is easy. Thyroid problem means that you're cold and you get kind of fat. And you take a pill, you take Synthroid, and that's just the way it is. And pretty much that's what my doctor told me, except that she said I didn't have any thyroid issues. But as the years continued, you know, I went back and I went back to school to become a certified coach, and found myself really struggling through the studies, trying to stay awake. And I went back to my doctor, and she said, okay, you probably have adult ADD. Here, take some Adderall. Rather than do the test that needed to be done, and I was cold, she said, wear a sweater. I was forgetting how to drive to the supermarket in town. And she said, oh, you know, you just have a lot on your mind. You're back in school. Everything had a reason. My cholesterol was going up, my weight was going up, my blood pressure was high, my glucose was high, and I eat a fairly healthy diet. And I just didn't understand. So finally I said, all right, I'll go to an endocrinologist. I looked around a little bit, found out what I needed to do, and I, you know, was a top endocrinologist, as they say, and he... I handed him a list of a whole page of symptoms that I typed out because I knew I could never remember all of the things that were just not right with me. He started me immediately on Synthroid, although he said, well, you know, yes, you have Hashimoto's, your thyroid will burn itself out. That's just what happens. There's nothing else to do. And that just wasn't okay with me. And at about that time, through all of the research I was doing, I had also discovered you. He laughed at what you and I were doing together and said, well, if that makes you happy, go ahead and do it. But you cannot reverse Hashimoto's. You cannot put it into remission. Your thyroid will definitely burn itself out. So anyway... I'm really happy to say that that is not true. And thanks to you, and thanks to having the courage to fire this doctor and step up and find a holistic practitioner to work with, I'm now taking Armor. My Hashi has been in remission for the last year and a half, at least. And I can think again. I can coach again. I've just planned one wedding in August for one child, and my daughter's getting married in March, and I have the energy and the focus to think about it. And I just found that the dietary changes that we've done, the testing that I've done, and the lifestyle changes have made such a world.
I'm very practical and I'm very all about action. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about what you have done in just a second. But I want to know, how are your antibodies?
They're not detectable.
And where are your antibodies now?
Interestingly, when I was first diagnosed, I'm playing out my forms, they were not that high. And the doctor was a little condescending to me. They were fairly low. I know through our group and others, there are people with much higher numbers, but I simply could not function. I really could stand in my kitchen in the morning and have no idea what I needed to do because I was just so foggy. But now my levels are undetectable.
Oh, really? That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Actually, I didn't even know that. That's great.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh.
No, I didn't know that. I mean, I know you always talk about that you feel much better, but I didn't realize they were totally below detection.
Yes.
And this is a really interesting point. This is also an interesting point about these antibodies, is that the level of antibodies obviously shows the degree of the and how aggressive the immune system is, like, acting against your thyroid, or for that matter, whether it's a gland or whether it's muscle tissue, whether it's your nerves, et cetera, depending on which autoimmune disease, whether it's your colon, whether it's your small intestine, it's all the same concept. But it's interesting that what you're saying is that your antibodies were not all that high, yet you felt so terrible. And this is a really good indicator that just the antibodies itself don't have to be they can be, obviously, a very bad indicator, but not necessarily. You know, I have clients who have their antibodies above 1,000, and they are far less symptomatic than what you are, right? So this is yet again another point about bioindividuality.
Exactly, I was going to say that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And then my cortisol levels were crazy. I have not had them retested, but I'm using adrenal support and, you know, changing my lifestyle with. I never had much caffeine. Now I have far less, sleep more, and don't fall asleep in the middle of the day and at 7 o'clock at night, and then stay up till 2 in the morning. My body is on a regular normal cycle, so I'm able to support my adrenals.
Awesome. You know that. There's also another thing, is how important it is to listen to your body and learn and know what to look for. You know, I remember when I had renal fatigue, I was so wired and tired at night that I'll come back home from work at 9 p.m., I'll have late dinner, I'll let it digest, so to speak, and then I'll go for a run until 1 o'clock in the morning, and I still couldn't sleep. That's how wired I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that was adrenal fatigue, just screaming. Okay, so Kena, can I ask you to share your story?
Sure. Hi, I'm Sukena. I came to Hashimoto's from stage 4 throat cancer 7 years ago, where I had my thyroid radiated till it was killed, and I am grateful to be 7 years clear of the cancer. And yet the repercussions of not having a thyroid, I hadn't even thought about a thyroid issue, but I'm certainly on T3, T4. When I came to your class, thankfully, a year ago, I think my symptoms were really, you know, my TPO were 600, tired, sleepless, brain fog, hair loss, weight gain. Things that were overwhelming, because I was like, wasn't the cancer enough? Can't I be healthy? So I think I was really discouraged and pretty much holding it by myself. So what was so great was to come into a community of people, and you in particular, who could be a container to go that next level, to learn more about my diet. And it's not that I didn't know a lot of things, but I really think it was the support that gave me the ability to go the next level. You know, and I lost 20 pounds in a couple of months. My hair got stronger. I could sleep. My fatigue got better. And through our work, you got me to do some cross testing?
Yeah, the cross-reactivity testing to gluten.
Yeah, so I really got to look at what might be inflaming me and keeping my TPO so high. Because I'd gone gluten-free. That had done so much for me. I'd gone free of nightshades. But there were quite a few other things that I was still reacting to.
Yeah.
So,
can I just ask you one thing? Because this is I think, really important. I would like to step back here a little bit to your life, because I know you, and I think this will be really valuable to everybody to hear this, because, you know, you are now an amazing food maker. For those of you, if you're in North California, Sukaina makes amazing food that sells in a lot of Whole Foods stores in North California, as well as a lot of local health stores, and it's just such an incredible array of beautiful raw sprouted food, wraps and soups and replacements for bagels and etc. So, but before you became this incredible food maker and got on this whole journey yourself, I mean, you had a huge career. I mean, you were one of the executives at Chevron, correct? And a very different life.
So
can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I ran a $200 million business for Chevron and was one of the only women in management. And, of course, that brought a lot of stress. It's just that was, you know, too much to take on. And I really think it did affect my health. Did it really bring me to cancer? Who knows? But one thing about having cancer or having skills, I really look at what I've been given as a gift. As hard as it's been, I really like who I am much more than when I was corporate, much more in my heart now. Much more living a life of passion and purpose. And for that, I'm very grateful. But, yeah, I mean, I had to really change and transform who I was. And, you know, at first I went kicking and screaming because I was afraid, you know, what's going to happen to me?
Of course.
And then I really came through it, and the trust is so great, and yet it's still overwhelming many times, and we still need each other just to be able to say, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. You know, that is huge just now what you said about, you know, and I think this is a wonderful reframe for anybody who's got a more serious condition. Like, I mean, you have stage 4 throat cancer, which is really, I mean, it's just a step away from being on the other side. But, you know, this is a far more serious condition than even people with autoimmune stuff like Hashimoto's. But even that, I think when you have Hashimoto's or any thyroid problems or any form of autoimmune condition, I think this creates a wonderful reframe of why would I be grateful for that? And, you know, and I look at it the same way, that if it wasn't for Hashimoto's, I would have not made all these changes, including, for example, a drastic estrogen dominance, which can lead to breast cancer in women, you know, and I have history of women having breast cancer from my mom's side, so that's really high, that's really not good, and had I not had Hashimoto's, I think I would have just gone about my life the way I did before, a lot of stress, a lot of toxicity, a lot of drinking, a lot of going out, very little sleep, overworking, type A personality, same as you, right? So
right.
Thank you for the reframe. I think this is really, and this is something that I think everyone could ask the question, you know, is there a blessing in having Hashimoto's? Is there other stuff that I can do for myself and my family that not only is going to, I mean, I have clients who say, I want to do this not just for me, I want to do this for my kids because I don't want my kids to develop an autoimmune disease. They do not deserve it. And they certainly, you know, they should know better, and it's going to learn, it's going to come from me. So Thank you for the reframe.
And that's
Lisa,
really the...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, sorry, Sukaina, just...
Yeah?
Yeah. Go ahead, Sukaina,
you
were saying something.
No, I'm done. I'll come back in some time.
Awesome. Lisa, tell us your story.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's about 4.5 years ago. Looking back, I guess, on my hormonal health or just health in general, my problem started a long time ago when I was just a child, probably on the onset of my first period. They were very irregular and painful. I also developed pretty severe acne at a really young age, and I started growing facial hair as well. So I guess eventually, too, later on, because of that and all my symptoms, I got diagnosed with PCOS. And at that point, after, you know, going through all of the different topical creams and pills, and nothing was really working, so the dermatologist I was seeing put me on the birth control pill at a pretty young age, and that's what I was using for a long period of time to, I guess, control my acne and my symptoms. And looking back, that probably wasn't a good thing, and my theory is that that's one of the reasons, or could be one of the reasons that sort of threw off my hormones and kind of contributed to getting Hashimoto's now. I guess I've always been a type A personality, and in some ways it's been a weakness of mine, just constantly being on the go all the time. And, you know, in university I barely slept and really pushed my boundaries, especially later in life, when sports took a really big chunk of my time. And I just really pushed myself physically, and looking back, it was a pretty unhealthy way of living and probably one of the contributors, too, of why I got sick. I guess just one day I started to feel really, really run down, and I couldn't recover from it. I could sleep for all, you know, for the entire day, and I would never feel well rested. Sports has always been a really big part of my life, and I was training in kickboxing quite seriously for a period of my life, and I started noticing that my body just couldn't recover from the physical activity anymore, and I was struggling with anemia, and the majority of my adulthood, and since my diagnosis, I suffered a lot with low blood pressure, to the point where it got scary at some point, where I would just black out. I remember sometimes I was kickboxing and sparring with my partner at the time, and she punched me in the face at one point, and I just sort of, you know, it shrugged me off a little bit because I blacked out, and she saw it, and she's like, are you okay? I didn't fall to the ground, but it kind of, you know, made me go a little off balance, and that was sort of one of the turning points where I realized something was off. Another time, too, is I was actually snowboarding with some friends down the hill, and I blacked out as I was going down, and as a result, I wiped out, obviously. And that really, really scared me. I ended up going home, and I started feeling queasy, and I was sick to my stomach, and my digestion was really, really off. That was another big
symptom.
Your digestion
was off for a long time, right?
Pardon me?
You had digestive problems for a long time, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It started when I was a child, actually. Growing up as a kid, I guess I just thought it was normal, but it was... one of the memories I have, it was almost like clockwork. Every time I would go out to a restaurant with friends or family, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with a really, really bad upset stomach, and then it would go away, and I'd be fine the next morning. So I don't know. I don't know if it had to do with food sensitivities or I've just always had a weak gut, but, yeah, it's definitely something I struggled with my whole life, and it just got a lot worse when I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Hey, Lisa, I really appreciate you being here on the call today because I know you're recovering from the flu and yet you still came on to the call tonight, so I really appreciate that. But I would like you to share, what do you think, I mean, you're so in tune with your own body now. You've done this journey, and I know we're going to be talking about some of the really serious big changes you have made in your life because yours is pretty restricted. Do you want to share with us what do you think has really been going on in the past few months in your life, and what do you think has brought upon this flu?
Yeah, for sure.
In the past 6 months, I guess I lived through a pretty stressful time. There's some severe family illness that we all had to kind of deal with, and it was ongoing for a really long time. It's kind of living in the hospital for about 3 or 4 months straight, and I think I had a pretty good perspective going into it, and I think I handled the stress as good as I could have. But you know, like, we're all human, and after a certain amount of time, the chronic stress starts to affect you eventually. And before that, I was actually doing really, really well. For the first time in, you know, 4 years, I was actually feeling pretty healthy. That was a bit of a setback for me, because just recently, since everything has kind of, you know, died down and gone back to normal, it's sort of, I was running on adrenaline all that time, so I was feeling pretty good. But since then, it's just like my body's just crashed, and I'm kind of going through a little bit of adrenal fatigue right now, and some of my old symptoms have come back, like my hair started falling out again, and my hormones are a little bit out of whack. And, you know, it's frustrating, obviously, you know, because when you start finally seeing some really good recovery, you want to stay like that, right? But I don't know, I've just come to accept, you know, life is life, and, you know, things pop up sometimes, and you just have to go with the flow. And yeah, it's just made me, you know, appreciate listening to my body and really self-caring and taking care of myself during those periods of time. So it's really, really important. Yeah.
And one of the thing that I want to mention about the importance of stress, and it's really a physiological change that happens in the body. We release a hormone called cortisol, which really helps us to deal with adversity at a given time. And what cortisol does during times of stress, such as yours, and, you know, anybody who's going through a period like that, is that we get our sugar levels go up, and so we have this incredible energy in terms of attention in our brain, and energy to act upon things and run around places and do amazing things that normally we would not be able without that cortisol spike. Our blood pressure goes up, right? Our alertness goes up. And that is all great when we have to deal with a temporary stress, but then when stress goes on for a long time, that's when the adrenals get really, really exhausted. And guess what? They produce far less cortisol. And something that most people don't realize is that cortisol, now hear this, cortisol also modulates our immune system. And guess what? Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease. So it's very hard for the cortisol to play an instrumental role in modulating the immune system, whether it's modulating it up or down, when there is too little of it, or when there's too much of it, for that matter. And that's exactly, I mean, you were describing a stress you've been going on for many months. I mean, you had a serious condition in the family, so that's very understandable. But, you know, people who, this can happen to anyone, and I'm sure people can relate, you can relate, or listeners can relate to people who go, you know, work like crazy for 2 weeks. There's something that's going on in their lives, whether it's work, whether it's family crisis, and then at the end of the 2 weeks, the day after it all kind of comes to an end, if it does, we crash and we come down with a cold. And so the flu is something that a lot of people are coming down with the flu, you know, around, and we kind of, I think most people's ways, doctor's ways of dealing with it is to, you know, encourage us to take the shot. But the truth of the matter is, if your immune system is strong, you're not going to get the flu. Okay, and the immune system is not just from eating well, but it's also from not having excessive stress in your life. So this is really, really important. Thank you for sharing, Lisa. So let's talk about the key changes, because I know most people, this is what people want to hear. It's like, what did you do? And again, I want to preface it. Those are journeys of these particular individuals. You read my story on my website on thyroiddietcoach.com. That's my story, right? So just to be very respectful to your own body and honor that this is there's a lot of things that can be done, but this is somebody's health story, so it could be different for you. So why don't we start off with Denise? Give us a couple of pointers. What do you think were the key things that you've done, Denise?
Okay, well, I'm listening to some of the other people and thinking, well, all right. Well, the first thing, I think the most important thing that I did was to get on the right medication for my Hashimoto's. I began on Synthroid, and I instantly, like the next day, I could think. But I knew that long term, that was not the best solution because I needed the T3 and T4 support. So now I went to Armor, and I don't necessarily feel better, but my labs are looking better. So I'm taking the thyroid medicine. I went gluten free, that I never would have done without you, and that detox. And in fact, if I knew that I needed to go gluten free, I would not have done the detox with you.
And you are Italian, right? So that makes it like triple
I'm
hard.
I'm Greek, and it's
right, sorry,
very,
Greek.
Yeah, so I would never have done it. And I was so shocked to find out that I don't tolerate gluten and that I really was not, but it became very apparent. And I'm really grateful that I know that because I feel so much better. I used to have to take digestive enzymes every time I ate anything, even a snack. Now I don't, and I can eat
Can I ask you about the gluten? Because this is one of the biggest fears that people have, people who are not all gluten yet.
It was
yet.
My big fear.
I know, and dairy is the other one, right? Which, hey, guess what? Those two, they both work on the same receptors in the brain as opium does. So that's why we call it comfort food, right? We don't call carrots comfort food, but obviously cheese and bread have always been comfort food. So
cheese,
it's obviously very hard to, it's always hard to give it up. But so tell us, how hard was it for you? Or how easy?
Okay, it really was not so hard because of the way we did the detox and the delicious food that we did eat for those couple of weeks. So I love to cook. I'm a really good cook. I had to relearn how to cook. That was a challenge for me. But I already was familiar with going gluten-free. My daughter had done that a few years earlier for some time.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me was just accepting that. But, you know, as I tested it a couple of times, as you said, just test it, have it, see what happens. Well, I felt so bad that I knew there was no way that having a bagel or a piece of pizza, delicious pizza or Italian bread, there's no way it was worth it because
this is really important what you're saying is because is when we give up one food, it's really not about deprivation, but it's really about replacing that food and introducing new foods into your protocol, into your diet, into your
mm-hmm.
life that oftentimes we don't even eat. So, you know, replacing pasta with whole grains and whether it's rice and millet and quinoa and amaranth and all these different grains that many people don't even know about and they really fall in love with it in a matter of time.
And I have.
Yeah.
What else have I done? Let's see. I'm mostly dairy-free, and I know that you pegged me to go, you know, dairy-free. I no longer drink milk. I never really did, but I had it in cereal or in oatmeal. Now I only drink almond milk. I do still have some cheese, and I'll tend to go with like the feta cheese, the sheep cheeses, but not nearly as much as I used to. And it's really easy because I feel good. So until you know how much better you can feel, it's not so hard to do. I also start my day every day with a nice warm glass of lemon water and try and work on making sure I keep my body more alkaline. I have far less sugar, and that happens naturally just because I think when you cut out gluten, you're cutting out sugar. You're not eating the same baked goods. And I have learned how to cook in a whole different way, and I love that. I love trying new recipes.
Awesome.
Let's see. I sleep more.
You sleep more. Yeah.
I sleep more. It's real. But I don't sleep. at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I don't sleep at 7 o'clock. I don't fall asleep while I'm eating dinner. It's really nice. I have a normal bedtime and I sleep all night long and I love it. And I wake up and I feel like...
You mentioned birth control pills earlier on. Where are you with those now?
They're gone. It took me longer than, you know, than I thought about. My doctor had always said, stay on it right through menopause, and it's just so much easier, blah, 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 and it's not. And I have, as my Hashimoto's started, I was gaining weight, and I'm not sure if it was Hashimoto's or something else, but I went gluten-free and thought I would lose weight and dairy-free and all of those things. And it was what you said, get off the birth control pill. And then I was finally able to lose about 10 pounds.
Because of birth control pills, you dropped another 10 pounds? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think so. Gluten didn't really help me as much as I thought, I was hoping that it would. But I had the energy at least to go and exercise, but nothing much was really happening. I lost like 3 pounds. When I got off birth control pills, my working out finally paid off, and I lost about 10 pounds more. So that was
awesome.
Really, really nice.
Denise, I'm just going to share with the listeners, just in case people wonder why get off birth control pills. So there's a whole long list of reasons why this is really not good. I mean, apart from the fact that you're introducing synthetic estrogen into your body, creating even a bigger difference of estrogen between estrogen and progesterone. But for people with thyroid conditions, the biggest problem with birth control pills is the fact that it increases what's called a thyroid binding globulin. And thyroid binding globulin, as the name implies, it binds the thyroid hormone. So when you're on birth control pills, you're actually decreasing what the body can utilize in terms of the thyroid hormone that's available that should be used by your body cells to, for example, for metabolism, so you can burn fat into energy or sugar into energy, right? But what's happening is when you take birth control pills, that thyroid hormone gets bound and hence is not available. And so it's kind of ironic or paradoxical, rather, that what happens is when we take birth control pills, so many women, A, they lose their sex drive, B, they become fat, you know, they become bigger on the weight, right? And which is just not what we want when we are sexually active. So great. I would love to, let's go over to Sukaina. So tell us about some of the big key changes that you think that played a big role for you.
Well, I think diet is very significant, and that's what helped me, I think, to undercover the next things, because I do see this as a healing process.
Yeah.
That many of these things are related, and do I have one autoimmune disease or what? So when I worked with you and I got some additional testing, I found that I had active Epstein-Barr and non-sexually transmitted herpes. I had already been treating for Lyme's disease for a couple of years, but underlying and actually identifying the issues, peeling off layers, you know, like going gluten-free. I've been raw since I got cancer.
Yeah.
And I really think healing from whole foods. One thing you challenged me to because of my fatigue, and you were so gentle with me in approaching me because I have been vegan and raw, is you said, what about trying meat? And I was just, I don't know if you remember, I was pretty opposed. And you just would gently say it for a month or so. And then last February, I started eating some fish and chicken. And I had a lot more energy. And everything I'd read about cancer and the China study and different things said, you know, be vegan and be raw. So it was amazing to be willing to try things that I had put a box around and just let the experience really tell the tale of what my body was needing. And that was one of the biggest gifts, is that I don't have to eat a lot of meat to have more protein, have more energy, and it's been really significant. The other thing I think for me is really about focusing on happiness. Being in a community, it's just looking at the gifts, looking at being having gratitude, and about being satisfied with the life I've been given rather than my limitations. I think those have been the most significant. And then, of course, treating the actual underlying autoimmune diseases appropriately, without a lot of chemicals, with food when I can, and rest.
Yeah, rest. Yeah, and you know, and I want to do a quick, just a quick note here on a lot of, I think the messages we're getting here today is really the root causes that caused Hashimoto's in the first place, right? And if every one of us looks at it, that could be so many of us, whether we were breastfed as a baby, you know, how strong was our immune system from day one we were born, were we delivered through cesarean or natural birth, that makes a big difference in our the microbiome that we are inheriting from our other mothers, microflora, hugely important. The things that happened in our lives, the amount of stress, adversity that was taking place, the exposure that we had to different toxins. Like, for example, I lived in China, so all the heavy metals didn't come from nowhere. I mean, they came from just the crazy food that I was eating there, and you just can't avoid it when you live in a toxic place like Shanghai. Stress that we talked about, Lyme's disease, HPV, digestive issues, like Lisa was talking about, her having digestive problems ever since from day one. Women, and then compounded with being put on birth control pills. You know, there's so many things that can cause Hashimoto's. And so for those of you who email me and say, how do I get my antibodies down? The answer is, I don't know. It all depends on your story. And I'm sharing this with you because it happens that tomorrow we're starting Mastering Hashimoto's program, which is going to be a six-week program that you can find on masteringhashimotos.com. And the whole purpose, the reason why I'm doing this is because it is going to help you to uncover the root causes of your Hashimoto's, which are so important because once you know what your root cause is, then you can treat it. So Kina knows that she's got Lyme and HPV to deal with today, and she's got a sensitive stomach, sensitive digestion. Those are her priorities. You heard Denise's story. We're going to talk a little bit more to Lisa, what are the things that she's going to be doing. Everyone has got a different story. Know what they are. And during the process of doing that work in the 6 weeks, which is going to have classes and coaching calls, you're going to be going along and create your action plan. And your action plan is going to be looking different from Sakina's. It would look different from Lisa's or Denise's or anybody else in the course. And the purpose of doing this is really to get clarity of what you want and prioritize your things. I liked what you said, Denise, about I wasn't ready to give up the birth control pills. It's not an easy one, right, because then you're going to have the alternatives to look into. And also the consequences, right, of like it's going to take me a few months to rebalance my hormones. And that's okay. And so by creating your own action plans, you know exactly what you need to work on first. We don't create so much overwhelm. One of the things that I find is that many of you I know attend a lot of summits, and there are so many of fantastic information out there. You might own several books. Maybe you have seen a couple of naturopaths. The problem is that accumulation of all that knowledge is a lot, but a lot of the times we get so overwhelmed with all that information that we come to a point of paralysis, and then we don't take action. But when you have an action plan, it's so much easier. Then it will help you prioritize things, and I'll tell you what's the most important thing to do first and leave the other things that you're not ready to change for later. The key benefits that people really get out of working through that process, it's just a lot of that clarity I'm talking about. And I want you to stop going from doctor to doctor. but also how you feel, right, about that weight loss that we always talk about when we have a thyroid condition, trying yet another diet and working out even more, and it's just not working, because when your thyroid or other hormones are out of balance, that weight is not going to go away when the body is not in a state of balance. If you think about it, a balanced, healthy person doesn't have weight problems. And lastly, I think one of the biggest benefits that you will learn is listening to your body. I think you can pick up from today's call, everybody who's listening, the three lovely ladies I have on the call with me today, there's a great amount of that aptitude of an ability of the intuition that we develop over time to really knowing what our body's telling us. So no doctor can say otherwise if we feel like this is not the right thing. There's going to be 6 classes. But like I said, class number 1 starts tomorrow. We're going to be covering digestion, sugar rebalancing, and sugar cravings. We're going to be talking about detoxification. I'm going to be teaching you how to detox your liver and the environment that you live in that causes so much of autoimmune problems. We're going to be covering also other hormones that can impact the thyroid, like estrogen, progesterone, adrenal fatigue. And I'm also doing workshops on Saturdays, which are going to be coaching workshops, so putting everything into action. I don't want you to be hanging. So even during classes, we always got Q&As for clarity, but on Saturdays, this is when you get to put things into action. The program is only $297. Hey, guys, this is how much people spend on supplements every month, and it's not working. So this is really a steal for the amount of knowledge that really everything that I know about Hashimoto's, I'm putting into that program. For those of you, for the first three people who are going to sign up from today's call, so like counting now, I know there's a lot of people online tonight, I want to give you some bonuses, and I want to just acknowledge that live participation. I want to thank you for that. So I'm going to be giving away 3 books. 2 books are from Isabella Swens, The Root Cause of Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, personally signed. Isabella and I were hanging out this past weekend, and she gave me 2 books signed. So I'm going to give that away as a gift. And I've also got the Paleo Moms book for Autoimmune Protocol, which is an awesome book. And I'm going to be also throwing in a couple of crackers that Sukeda helped me make. And I'm also giving away matcha tea samples, which is just this amazing ceremonial Japanese tea. So, URL is masteringhashimoto's.com. Check it out if you're joining us. If you have any questions, send us a quick email to support@thyroiddietcoach.com. And one thing I want to say, if you follow the recommendations, if you're willing to do the work fearlessly and in a committed fashion, not doubling around, trying here and there, but really committing and having the courage and honoring your body's needs of really making the change, then there's no reason why you shouldn't be having the results like all of us on this call have been having so far. Okay, so that's that. And I want to go over to Lisa, because Lisa, you have made some incredible changes that can be seemingly hard, but you've just been a master of just really making things wonderful and fairly simple. Tell us about it. What have you done that really made a difference?
The biggest thing that I made that made the biggest change was diet for me. It was number one change. Like I said, in the beginning, the digestive upset has always been the biggest problem that I struggled with. So I knew that my diet was the cause for that. And I know I was seeing you, Magdalena, at the time. It was probably one of my lowest digestive points where I was getting really sick. It seemed like everything I ate was making me sick. And I became really anemic, and I was deficient in vitamin B12, and I lost a bunch of weight, and I was really struggling. So when I was seeing you, you suggested, okay, because, it seems like you have so many sensitivities, we should go and try and do the autoimmune protocol. And that diet, it's pretty restrictive, but it has made the world of difference in my health and just my overall digestion. It's been great. I know it's really restrictive, and, another person, maybe they would just have to eliminate gluten, and that's all they have to do, and that's great. But for me, I had to go full-blown, and ever since, I think it was about a year ago that I started eating that way, and I was able to start introducing a few other of foods, like nuts and stuff like that. I could eat in small amounts. But now that I'm kind of going through a bit of a flare-up, I'm sticking to the protocol pretty strictly right now until I can get things under control.
Lisa, tell us in two words what Paleo Fault Immunity, or AIP in short, what is it about?
AIP stands for Paleo Autoimmune Protocol. So it's basically, I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with the paleo diet, it's just basically a stricter version. So on top of, no grains, there's no eggs, no seeds or nuts, and no nightshades. So you're basically eating meat, fruits and vegetables. That's about it. And avoiding a lot of spices as well, because they're seed based. So it's mostly just herbs that you eat. Yeah.
Okay. What else? Apart from diet, is there anything else that you think made a change?
I think after diet, what the biggest change for me was a perspective change. I know we already made mention of it, but it's just, coming to terms that I have a disease and that I'm always going to have a disease, and it's going to be an ongoing journey for me. In the beginning stages, when I first got diagnosed, I was really stuck on, longing my old self and struggling with that and just wanting to be able to do the things that I used to be able to do. Looking in the mirror and having the same amount of hair that I used to have, because that was something that I really struggled with. Just developing a new perspective in regards to, embracing my disease instead of fighting it. And that's been really healing for me, for sure. The last change that I made was just prioritizing my sleep. For a really long time, for the majority of my life, I just really never prioritized it. And I never slept enough, and I didn't realize how much that was affecting my health. Even now, I've gotten into the bad habit of not sleeping as much as I should be. I can feel that it's affecting me, so I'm trying to, get back into better sleeping habits and, turning everything off around, 9:30 and just cooling down and going to bed and staying in bed, reading and turning off all the electronics, because that tends to, keep you more awake. So just sleep has been really important to me too.
Awesome. So thank you for sharing. I forgot about that piece, yeah. Great. So Lisa, since we are honored, tell us what's ahead for you. What are the, I want to kind of keep it real, in a sense that, this is not a conversation here. This is not a program, a show that I created going like, here I was on the floor and now I'm flying and that's it. Like I'm done. Like I'm healed. I think it's a journey, right? I mean, I think you're describing all the stress you're going through and stuff that you've been having. It's a journey, and I think I've come to realize this with my own health as well, is that it is a journey and not a destination. It's always going to be a moving object to pursue a certain passion it's probably a journey, a life journey, which just makes us smarter and more in tune with ourselves as we go. And Lisa, before I hand over the mic to you, I want to share that with the listeners that, I have my own issues still, they just recently came up, and it's annoying because I gave up coffee probably about 6 months ago. I don't drink it regularly the way I used to, and having a shot of espresso first thing in the morning was really something that was giving me a lot of joy, so it was really hard to give it up, and I substituted it with black tea that I always have after food, never before food. And then I would have a matcha tea in the afternoon, which, has caffeine in it. And what I discovered was that I started becoming really achy all around. And my back always has been giving me a lot of problems. But I also started having a lot of joint pains. It came to a point where I was really beginning to think that there was something more serious going on. Somehow my boyfriend had a really good inkling, and he's like, why don't you just get off caffeine, tea as well completely and see what happens? And fair enough, I have to say, I only gave it up for 5 days just to see what happens, and it was just incredible. All my body pains and aches went away, and that edge that I often have when what I realized also that caffeine makes me really quite edgy, and the person that I can offload it on is the person I love the most, and that's him. And so that was really quite interesting how my entire personality almost changed, you know, in a relationship. And I think I just generally became a little bit more gentle, even with myself. But these body pains and aches just went away. And it is, you know, on one hand, it's kind of frustrating because I'm looking at this going, man, now I can't have caffeine either. But, you know, I think of it this way. My God, I just started creating all these amazing herbal teas. And so I just came back from this wonderful retreat, and we had these herbal teas. And one blend that I've learned from somebody who was there was to do, take rose petals with spearmint and lemongrass. And I love lemongrass. So I ran off to the health store today, and I just bought the mix, and I'm gonna start making that. And so looking for replacements, which I normally would have not done because I was always doing my Earl Grey tea first thing in the morning, right? So it kind of opens you up to new possibilities. And I think it's I will be able to have caffeine again. I just kind of want to detox from it and just probably not do it on a daily basis the way I used to do before. So that's, you know, that's something that I'm coming to realize. Frustrating on one hand, you know, that these things keep changing. But on the other hand, I'm thinking there's new things that I'm learning from this. And I'm so glad that I just discovered what's the next thing to look at. So, Lisa, tell us about. Let's start wrapping up the call. I can't believe we're almost up to the hour. Tell us about what's ahead for you, like in two words.
What's ahead? The future changes. Right now, I'm just working on, you know, building my immune system and bringing myself back up to speed.
Awesome.
Resting, yep, and taking care of myself is really important.
Awesome. Denise, what about you? What's ahead? What are you going to be working on?
Let's see. I think for me, I'm going to learn more about MTHFR because I thought it was sort of simple, like you just changed your vitamin B and you changed your, stayed away from certain things, but it is very, very complicated. So I think learning more about that
just for the benefit of listeners, MTHFR stands, it's a mutation that happens, and you basically means that you are a slow detoxifier, and there's certain things that you have to be careful with, like the type of folate you're taking, the kind of vitamin B12 you're taking, and be very respectful that basically you are a slow detoxifier. That's the bottom line to it. So that's one of the things we will also be learning in Mastering Hashimoto's. So I just want to clarify that because not everybody knows this. Awesome.
Okay,
what
thank
else?
You. Yes, I do. And as part of that, I will be adding chlorophyll to my water and starting that part of the detox. And looking and trying to uncover what I have a back pain, which you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, and there's a back pain that is just not going away, and mm-hmm. I wonder perhaps if there is something in my diet. So that is my next part is digging to figure out the part of my healing journey.
Can I just share this with you? The past weekend where I also met Isabella Wentz. We all hung out. It's basically this very cool health practitioners summit, and there was this chiropractor who works with not just, you know, adjusting people and using mechanical force and things, but he is a big proponent of making diet changes and spiritual changes. And I spoke to him about my caffeine revelation, and he looked at me. He's like, yep, that's one of the first things I do with my clients. And I'm thinking, where have you been this whole time? Because I have been to see 5 different practitioners, and everybody twists and turns me, and nobody's helping me here, you know, with my back. So So,
coffee is gone. Coffee is gone for me because I only drink it to be social with my husband, and he'll make me a second glass. I don't need it. I don't need it if that's what's causing it. So, maybe you solve my problem super quickly, but I'm going to work on that. And I'll continue to work on helping others because this genetic mutation does run in my family, and someone close to me, very closely related to me, had a stroke at a very early age a year ago. Her children have these gene defects as well. So it's important for me to share what I know so that I can, you know, help them make at least the first simple changes, and that they can make sure that, you know, that they have the opportunity to be healthy.
Right. So, Gina, what about you? What's ahead?
Really just to live my passion, just not let anything stop me from being in my heart and giving what I was meant to give in this world. So it's just really fun to bring myself through, no matter what might be a limitation. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. You know, so for me, it's the same thing. Like I said, getting off caffeine is going to be the next big thing. And, you know, it's there's also the importance, if I want to share something that I didn't mention before. You know, Lisa, were you tested for SIBO?
No, I haven't. It was assumed that I had it at about a year ago, so... the naturopath that I was seeing put me on like a gut protocol for that, and it helped. So I don't know. I guess I'll never know. I always suspected candida of some sort just based on some of my symptoms. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure I had some sort of bacterial overgrowth at some point for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this is, you know, this is some of the things that also we see a lot of times when we have a lot of sensitivities to different foods. It can be related, it could be due to an infection, such as SIBO, which stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. If you're reacting to pretty much everything you're eating, then there's something to worthwhile looking into. Candida, which is a yeast overgrowth, can be a culprit. Parasites can be a culprit. And so a lot of different little critters like that can play into our Hashimoto's. So, so this is what you're going to be learning in the Mastering Hashimoto's program. For those of you who are joining us, we're starting tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and I promise you it's going to be an awesome journey, just as it has been for Lisa Sukena and Denise, and certainly for me. It's one of my favorite classes to teach just because of the transformations that it creates. Hey, ladies, I want to thank you so much for being here with me tonight and sharing your stories and creating that hope and inspiration, which I'm sure it has had a ripple effect on the listeners. Have a restful night, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time on another call on the Hormones Community Calls. Have a restful night, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, Magdalene.
Good night. Thank you.
Hi, good night.